of ingratitude. And we need to come to the realization in our life that everything that we have is from God. Everything. Whatever you have in your pocket right now, whatever you have anywhere, your home, your car, whatever the case may be, belongs to God. Your capacity to work is given to you by God. Your ability to create, to sell, whatever it is, to build wealth in general has been given to you by God. And we should really be grateful to God. And here's what I have noticed is Americans compared to maybe those in Haiti. Americans have an idea, a lot of us do, that because we work so hard, this is why we have all these great things. And believe me, I've seen people work in Haiti very hard. When you see people sitting at a riverbank with a hammer and taking rocks and busting them up all day long to make rocks like this, and the rocks, you know, about the size of your fist, and that's what they do all day, and they make pennies a day doing that, they're working extremely hard. They're not getting a whole lot for it. So even the ability for us to work hard and then receive, you know, a good portion back from that has been given by God himself. And so what really, I think, chafes God is this whole idea that we've done it on our own. And among Christians, this is true in America. We see this attitude of ingratitude. We see just this sense of entitlement. You know, I said something last week when I was talking about teaching our kids to work and how vitally important it is to teach our children to work, because we don't want to raise kids that have this copying attitude that, hey, you know, I don't know why it's not going my way, but it better be going my way real quick. Another factor that I name a couple things here that help us in a bad way to contribute to ingratitude is envy. You know, we look at what somebody else has. Now, how many of us have been guilty of driving through maybe a little nicer neighborhood, or maybe a whole bunch nicer neighborhood than what we live in, and we think, well, that person, man, they done something evil to get that house. And maybe they did, or maybe they didn't. Or how many of us have driven through that neighborhood and we start picking those houses apart? Well, I wouldn't want that house because it has this color, or it's got these goofy looking shingles on it, or that's a maintenance nightmare. You know, it's just a myriad of things that we go through. See, our Western culture feeds envy because it's just this idea that we want more. And marketing, advertising, all those things, even entertainment, encourages us to make life like this thing of, I got to have more than you. Possessions, possessions, possession. But in contrast, the scriptures teach us not to covet. Whether it's our neighbor's wives or our neighbor's possessions, we're not to covet those things. We're not to covet positions or salaries or any economic thing that somebody else might have. So the real question is, how do we become thankful? Well, it just simply starts by giving thanks. And sometimes that's a hard thing for us to do when we think that we deserve it. We're entitled to it. And that's not a good place to be. When we become more thankful through just the simple act of giving thanks every day for whatever's going on that day, we appreciate it. Now, let me give you something that when I came back from my sabbatical, you know, I hit the ground running here. I came back a week early. And I was grateful for the opportunity to put 60, 65 hours in. I don't even know. I didn't really keep track. I just know it was 6 or 7 days straight, and I was hard at it, and I enjoyed every minute of it. I mean, when you don't have that opportunity to do, for me, it was a very, very wonderful thing to get back and be doing what God calls me to do. And believe me, it's beyond just preaching. There's a lot more that goes on than just preaching. So let's talk about ingratitude for a little bit this evening and think about how it denotes really spiritual immaturity. Think about infants. They know what they want in the moment. You know, they're crying, they want this, they want that. And they often don't appreciate the fact that the parents have done this or that to get what they've got. Once they've gotten what they want, then they forget what they've gotten and they have these short memories, and it's just a bad thing. They're not concerned about what you did for me yesterday. We as Christians, by the way, need to remember what God did for us in the past and what he can do for us in the future if we so choose to do so. Their concern is not what you did for me yesterday, it's what you're doing for me today. The past is meaningless, and so is the future. So they just live for the present. So I want us tonight, if you have your Bibles, look at the 17th chapter of Luke, starting in verse 11. I want us to look at the story of the 10 leopards. Now here it goes. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of the Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There he met him 10 men who were leopards who stood afar off. Now let me stop there and give you some background to that. Leopards were not allowed to be around people without leprosy. They had to maintain a distance from them. As they walked or journeyed anywhere, they would have to cry out, unclean, unclean. So the population that was not leopards could stay away from them, not to catch the leprosy. Now let's look at on down to verse 4:13. And they lifted up their voice, this is the leopards, and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, started with 10, but one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now here's the kicker to it all. He's a Samaritan. He was the one that was despised by the Jews. He was the one thought the lowest of the lowest. He was the one that was the outcast, beyond just even leprosy, just by his ethnicity. He comes and says, so back, thanking Jesus. Here's what Jesus says in verse 17. Were there not 10 cleansed? Of course, Christ knew how many was cleansed. Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Arise, your way, your faith has made you well." Now may God bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of his word tonight. This account here shows us that 9 men had that attitude of ingratitude. And I want to tell you that thankfulness is a choice, as just as much as ingratitude is a choice in our life. It's a deliberate choice. It's a decision that we make. When we choose to be thankful, we are focusing on the positive. And listen, it's not a result of good circumstances. If there's one thing that I want you to walk away with tonight, if all the problems in your life were fixed at this very moment, if you're not a grateful person now, you won't be a grateful person after all those problems are fixed. Whether I'm talking about financially, what I'm talking about spiritually, emotionally, health-wise. If I could wave my magic wand and wipe cancer away from some of you, if you have it right now, there was still, if you're not grateful before, you're not going to be grateful after. We tend to believe that people, when they have bad experiences, bad circumstances in their life, they're not grateful because of it. Oh, they have nothing to be grateful about. How can they be grateful? They're sick. When people experience good circumstances in their life, when they feel good and when they feel happy, they have something to be grateful for. According to that flawed formula, we look at what happened to the 10 leopards, we would expect to find the follow progression. 10 leopards have leprosy. 10 men ungrateful. 10 men healed of leprosy. 10 men grateful. That's not what we have, is it? We have out of the 10, 1/10 of them returning to say thank you. That's what we find. One man, out of the 10 was grateful. That's just something just speaks to me loud and clear in the scriptures there, that this man probably was grateful long before he had the healing touch of Christ in his life. Now, that's something we need to walk away from this service with tonight. We need to be grateful for what God has already done in our life. And then when he does something again in our life, we can be grateful. But if you're not grateful right now for what you have, you're not going to be grateful no matter what the miracle is in your life. So I'm going to give you about four things tonight. I want you to remember that ingratitude and gratitude, regardless if we're talking the negative or the positive, they're an attitude. It's an attitude of choice. It's a deliberate decision to focus either on the positive or on the negative. Thankfulness is not a result of good circumstances. I want you all to repeat that with me tonight. Thankfulness is not a result of good circumstances. We see that nine men did not practice thankfulness before they were healed. So, you know, they didn't practice it after they were healed. It's just an amazing thing. Here's the question we need to all ask ourselves. Is there something missing from our life that prevents us from being happy or being grateful? Maybe for a young person here tonight, which we don't have a lot of young people here tonight, but for our young guys and gals here at this church, it may be, I can't be happy until I find a spouse. Go get the book, The Meaning of Marriage, from Timothy Keller. I'm challenging every one of us here, by the way, to read that. It's one of the best reads that I've had all year out of the maybe 20 books. I don't know how many I've read this year, but it's one of the best reads that I've had all this year. If you know, when I had my heart attack, I'll just be upfront and open here today. You know, I believe that God did something miraculous in my life. He saved my life that day. But can I just tell you, this is not to put me on a pedestal. I was grateful before that moment. And when the doctor told me I was lucky to be alive, and I said, how so? He said, well, you know, over two-thirds of the people that have the type of blockage you have die from it. You know, I said, well, luck had nothing to do with it. The Lord had everything to do with it. And for whatever reason, he chose to spare me. I'm not ungrateful that he has spared me. I'm going to do my best with it. But I was grateful before. I'm going to be grateful afterwards. And regardless if I die or if I get sick with another heart attack, which could very well happen, I could have cancer or whatever you could think of. You know, there's things I've had battled against since that heart attack, physical in nature. If I didn't have gratitude before those things happen and God changes those circumstances for me, I'm not going to be grateful after he changes those circumstances for me. You know, we're in Thanksgiving, and this is sort of a Thanksgiving theme here with this message anyway. And what I've read and studied about the pilgrims in the Plymouth colony, they had many illnesses as they made their voyage from London to Cape Cod. It wasn't the good ship Lollipop as they sailed over here. It was they had few supplies for the winter, and they came into the North Atlantic region of our coast, on the eastern coast of America, and it wasn't a good time to hit there with low supplies. Over half of them died. They had 100 landed, 50 of them died immediately. Out of those 50 that were still living, only about 6 or 7 of them could do the work that was necessary to maintain life for the rest of the 43, 44 of them, whatever the case may be. Yet they stayed on. They formed good relationships with the Indians, and later in the summer, they saw a second shipload of 35 people that showed up there at the colony. In the fall, they faced another drought. It sounds like global warming before we had global warming, doesn't it? Cold, then hot, cold, then hot. Anyway, that's a story for another time. But they faced this drought, and the problem was that they had a lot of problems. But what I find amazing about the pilgrims, and I think what differentiated them above and beyond a lot of other people, was they still set a time aside to be thankful to God. They thanked God for what happened. Now just think of it for a moment here. In Butler County, all the population that we have here, just imagine if half the population of Butler County was wiped out, including some of your family members, maybe a son, a daughter, maybe your husband, or maybe all the above. Would we still be able to express heartfelt thanks to God in that type of circumstances? And I would say to you, if you're grateful before, you're going to be grateful after. If you're not grateful before, you're not going to be grateful after. So it's an attitude, right? Here's the second thing. I hold up three fingers, but it's two. It's not based on circumstances. Okay, I've talked a little bit about that. Let me expound on it a little bit more. I realize that as we approach this holiday season, you know, a lot of people have a lot of problems. You know, I've made it no secret that our son is a troubled soul. We pray for him and we're concerned about him. I don't say that to engender sympathy from anybody. And there's really not a lot of details that need to be shared from me about that. You know, that's our personal life. It's our private life. And I appreciate people being respectful for it. But if God, the one circumstance in my life that if I could see change, if I could wave my magic wand, that would probably be the number one. There's nothing else that if I saw that, I could die a happy man. But for whatever reason, it hasn't changed. It is what it is, so to speak. But if I could change it, I still know that I was grateful before, I was grateful after. Now, whatever it is that you're facing, maybe you don't have enough money to go around. Maybe it is that you have a horrible job. Maybe it is that you have kids that are not doing. Maybe you're experiencing some kind of trauma from separation or divorce or whatever the case may be, rebellious kids, whatever the case may be. If you're not grateful before that, you're probably not going to be grateful after it. There was a cartoon, and I think it's still in some of the papers, and I don't know, it's been so long since I've read a newspaper. Has anybody still, I'm sure some of you still read the newspaper. Everything I get on is online anymore, but Calvin and Hobbes, they had this cartoon, and Hobbes was asking if there was a God, and Calvin's reply was, well, somebody's out there to get me. Listen, God's not out there to get you. We need to remember deep down when we're tempted to believe the reason that we're not thankful this year, this moment that we're in, it's because when we think it's because of our problem, that's why we're not thankful. If I had this, I would be thankful. When we're tempted to believe that no reasonable person or God could ever expect us in our current circumstance to be thankful, we are simply deceiving ourselves. Job is the prime example toward that. Our problem is not our problem. Our problem is pride and arrogance, thinking that we deserve more than what we have at any given moment. See, only 10 leopards returned, and that was a Samaritan. And by implication of what's in the scripture, as I sort of alluded to, the others were Jews. Samaritans were despised, they were unworthy, they were traitors. They were considered less than human, really, by the Jews. Jews thought the Messiah would come and establish the Jewish world empire, and then he would destroy all those wicked Samaritans. God had other plans, by the way. The Jews thought that, on the other hand, they were worthy and deserving and righteous. And listen, there's none righteous, no, not one. So let me be clear. When God spared my life back on December 16th, 2009, yeah, it's all that time ago, I wasn't deserving of it. I wasn't. All those times when I was a kid and I did something stupid, or when I did something stupid in a car or whatever and could have died, maimed, or killed other people, wasn't deserving of it. None of us are. I don't understand God's grace. I don't understand God's mercy. But I do know I'm so glad that I've received it. See, these 10 leopards, one coming back. The healing took place. Jesus teaches the nature of the kingdom out of this healing. And he pointed out that there's one willing to come back and be thankful about. Isn't it amazing that Christ chose to be with the Samaritans, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, those who were obviously sinful people, and those who probably were the least willing to admit that they deserved anything, to be the ones that he would bestow grace and mercy on. And then these proud and haughty and high-minded people who thought that they were so much better because they worked so much harder, they knew so much more about God, were the ones that were so distant and far away, they couldn't walk back. They couldn't walk back to the man who changed their forever changed their life and say thank you. Now here's the third thing. Being thankful for not getting what we deserve. That's a good thing. Christians, let's stop and talk about this and think about this for a moment. We're rebellious sinners. We're deserving of God's wrath. And I love the way that Paul paints it in the book of Ephesians. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. He came to us. All of us who also, we just need to have this an attitude of gratitude in our life. And just realize that if it wasn't for God saving us, we would be lost. See, God has given the gift of salvation by grace through faith. That's the way that it comes. So we all deserve hell, plain and simple. And what we get is heaven. That's a miraculous thing. Mercy and grace wrapped together. If we never received another gift from God, and believe me, there are Christians in other parts of the world that don't know what it's like to sleep in a bed. You know, when I was in Haiti, we built beds. You remember that, Doug? Now, I didn't help you with the beds that day. I was in the medical mission that day, but the day I was working in the medical mission, those guys, Doug and a bunch of other ones, were putting beds together, working the drills and putting those all together. And Doug, you remember when we took those beds to that family? We loaded them off and put them all together. Got some pictures of that. He's probably on his Facebook account. You can watch it. Look at those pictures, right? These people, this family of four, right? They had never slept in a bed. Never in a bed. When we went to where they lived at, it was a tent all the way from that time the hurricane was down there. And underneath the tent were crabs. Crabs were living underneath the floor of their house. I mean, it was dry rotted. It was a mess. When it rained, it come in there. And these people they just worked, and they were grateful that we were there. But they had it all anyway, because they had salvation. They had the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And how is it that we think because we have all these things around us, it puts us so much better than them? It doesn't. See, God's given us the gift of salvation through His grace, through His mercy, and we should be thankful for that. Because let me tell you, there's a myriad of people throughout the world today that don't have one 84th of what you have. They don't. And Southern Baptists, listen, we're in mission fields all over the world, all over the place, 144 different countries. Our mission is to give the gospel to every people groups. You know, I think they've identified somewhere 8,000, 8,500 different people groups. Do you understand that? And these people don't live like you and I live. They're not going to go home and make sure the automatic thermostat says 70 degrees tonight. And it'll cycle down to about 66 to save a little energy. You're not going to get in a car and drive somewhere. The food that you're going to throw in our trash night, by the way, is on Sunday. Probably the food in my trash can could feed a family of eight in a lot of these places. I remember, Doug, when we walked into that church, one of the last days we were in Grand Guave, and they had this widow's ministry. We put like 4 or 5 pounds of rice in a bag, put a couple scoops of beans in a bag, some canned corn, some other things, all this stuff in a bag. And this was, we could hold it in our hand. This was the food that this woman was going to eat for the month. And the food that she was going to eat for the month. And you know what? I'm thinking about, well, do I want to have that turkey I bought yesterday, that boar's head turkey? And, you know, we've got all these good things. And I'm saying, I'm grateful. But if I don't have these good things, I'm going to be grateful for what God has given me with His salvation. Now, let's think about this. Should we brazenly hold our praise from God because we don't like our current circumstances? No, we shouldn't. Here's what God has to say about our problems. He writes it through James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also writes it through Peter. Let me give you several verses here. You may want to write these down. James 1, 2. I used this verse last week, I believe, as well. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Life's not easy. We trade one set of problems for another. Peter says, beloved, do not think. 1 Peter 4, chapter, verse 12. It's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. It never ceases to amaze me that everybody thinks that they're the only one that's facing something difficult. No. I don't mean to be sadistic. I don't mean to be non-caring. But no. You're not the only one. Philippians 4th chapter, starting verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Going down to verse 11, not though I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I'm reading through a Matt Chandler book and just finished it up, I think, last week. And he talks about to live as Christ. He really articulates in that particular passage, Paul knew what it was like to live in the lap of luxury. When Lydda, when he was in the book of Acts talking about him, he was at a rich person's house. Don't you imagine that rich person's house had maids and had cooks and had nice linens and everything from Leon? He knew what it was like to be in that good place. But he also knew what it was like to be in a hole in the ground off the Roman Forum. It was called the Procronian prison. That's where he was when he wrote the book of Philippians. And he said, regardless if, he's basically saying, whether I'm in the lap of luxury with the chefs waiting on me, or I'm in this Procronian jail with guards chained to me, I still know what it's like to have joy. I still know what it's to be happy. Why is that? Because it's Christ. It's Christ that was the reason he was happy. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Let me give you the fourth and final thing here tonight. It is being thankful no matter what. That's what this all sums down to. Well, I got one more thing after this, and we'll be real brief here. If I had the power to change everything, and I've already said that, I'd try to, if I could do that, it's still not going to change your attitude. It's a choice that you have to make. Let me go to the fifth and final thing here tonight, so we're judicious on time. Do you know what leprosy teaches us about life? It teaches us to be thankful for pain. Now, there's people in this church, because they had a certain pain in their body, they've went to get examined, and they have found out that they had a certain type of cancer, and that certain type of cancer usually doesn't have pain associated with it, but because they had a certain type of pain, they were examined, CAT scan, scoped, whatever they did for them, they found out, okay, you've got this problem. And then they've worked to fix the problem. They're still living today. We're talking 5-10 years down the road for some of these folks. We need to be grateful for pain, because it teaches us some things. You know, my wife, she has had some back problems over the past couple years. And what I found out about her back problems is this. When she locks up, when she goes into one of her patterns where she cannot move, and it's just excruciating, what was explained to me is that your body is shutting down that particular muscle to keep you from damaging it any further. And so that's why you feel pain and you move. That's why you're forced into bed. So how many have back pain out there? Every once in a while, man, I can't do crunches anymore at the Y. And it's a shame. I like to do crunches. But they hurt so bad, I can't do them now. I just lock up. Now I have to crawl out of there and go home and put some ice on myself. Pain teaches us some things. Leprosy has the insidious side to it that it desensitizes people to pain. In fact, they can't feel pain. That's why If you've ever really seen a leopard, if you've ever been around one, you'll notice that a lot of times they don't have all their fingers. Sometimes they have no fingers at all. Ears are gone, nose are gone, you know. Why is that? Because when they are hurt, they never know that they're really hurt. God's designed pain in our life for a very important thing. It teaches us that there are some things that we just need to stay away from. So I want to tell you today, pain's not God's great goof. It's not a bad thing. It's God's gift. He's designed it in our life to help us move ahead, move along, realize that there's some troubled things that we may need to work on. So next time you wrench your back, next time you chip a tooth, man, I chipped a tooth and I still got to get it fixed. And I'm not happy about that, but I still got to get fixed. I don't like caps, by the way. So next time you do something like that, you're in bed for a week or you got to go spend $500 on a cap, and that's cheap anymore, isn't it, I guess? Just remember that God has designed pain in our life. So don't take it for granted when something hurts, and don't take what you've got in life right now for granted. Amen? Let's all stand. It's just important in our hearts that we don't let ungrateful critical spirit take a root in our life. It's important. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your love, for your provision. And Father, we thank you for the example that has been given to us in the scriptures as well. And these 10 leopards, of one of which only returned. And Lord, I hope we all realize that at times in our life, we're like those 9 leopards that didn't return. You do something miraculous, you do something spectacular in our life, and we never bother to look up, never bother to change our course and walk back and say thank you for what you've done. I pray for all of us that's going to change tonight, for this pastor, for this membership here at this congregation. So Lord, help us to be mindful that our attitude is vitally important, and we can have the good one or we can have the bad one. I pray that we will have the good one, and I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.